So we've been going through the book of Philippians the last few weeks, and sticking with that this week. And I titled this teaching, What Are You Living For? So I wanted to start off today just by reading Philippians. The version that I will be reading from and we have up on the screen is the New Living Version. And you can read along in whatever version you have. They're all a little different. But I will just go ahead and start with that. So it says, I hope very much that I will have no reason to be ashamed. I hope to honor Christ with my body, if it be by my life or by my death. I want to honor him without fear, now and always. To me, living means having Christ. To die means that I would have more of him. If I keep on living here in this body, it means that I can lead more people to Christ. I do not know which is better. There is a strong pull from both sides. I have a desire to leave this world to be with Christ, which is much better. But it is more important for you that I stay. I am sure I will live to help you grow and be happy in your faith. This will give you reason to give more thanks to Christ Jesus when I come to visit you again. So when I was studying the scripture this week, or really the last couple of weeks, you know, what this scripture means to me is so much about our purpose as believers. So the question, what does it mean to live as Christ, and what are you living for? You know, I think that's something that every Christian should aim at being able to say truthfully. For me, to live is Christ. But can we truthfully say that? Can I truthfully say that? You know, I think we need to be honest in examining our lives before the Lord in this. And that's a part of what we've been doing with the Enneagram, is we're really examining our weaknesses, our strengths, who we are, who God is. And when we do this, it brings our purpose into focus. So I think we need to answer two questions. What does it mean to live as Christ, and what are you living for? So I'll be talking a little bit about both those today. So Paul, Brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, I think he is a really great example of a follower of Christ. He was someone who lived as Christ, and he knew what he was living for. So here he is, enduring imprisonment, and not a fun imprisonment. It's a bad imprisonment. Not that prison's ever good, but, you know. But because of those two questions, his example is so amazing. He is suffering literally in chains for the gospel. Yet he knows his purpose is to encourage the other followers of Christ. I think that's pretty amazing. So in these six verses, he is recognizing the reality that life on earth is pretty dang hard. He lived in a broken world. We live in a broken world. And difficulty not will come. It does come. Some of us are in difficulty seasons right now. So how do we function in that difficulty? Paul, he even considers in verse 21 how much easier it would be to die than be with Christ. I think, you know, if we're really honest with ourselves and if we've gone through a really hard season, a physical pain season or an emotional pain season, it's so easy to be like, oh, Lord, just take me away. Like, this is hard. I don't want to do this anymore. So he was going through that very same thing. But we see kind of in that moment such a clear picture of Paul's heart in the middle of that really real struggle. You know, in that moment, he's considering death, but he doesn't choose it. Instead, he says that he is still eagerly expectant and hopeful because he knows the promise he has as a child of God. He's not discouraged. He's not going to be ashamed. I mean, it would be a little shameful if you were in prison, right? I mean, that's weird. But he's not ashamed. Instead, he trusts that the Lord will give him everything he needs to live out his purpose and to advance the kingdom of God. So I see Paul in this moment, even though, you know, he's suffering, he's struggling, whatever, that he's full of courage instead of discouragement. He's choosing courage. He's choosing to partner with God instead of giving up and giving into death. He's choosing to remain a part of the body of Christ. He's trusting that God has him right where he wants him to fulfill a purpose. And he knows that God's purposes are worth fighting for. And I think that's a pretty powerful, you know, point. He's not discouraged by his circumstances. Instead, he's actively seeking God's heart for his situation. He is encouraged not based, again, on his circumstances, but instead he is trusting in God's character. So this reminds me, for some reason, so much of the story from Les Miserables. Has anybody seen that? I'm a big musical fan. My friends know this. This is one of my most favorite musicals. I love it so much. And so if you've seen the musical, you are kind of familiar with his story, which is a beautiful story of love and sacrifice and mercy and redemption. And so I'll tell you a little bit about it. We'll see how this kind of correlates in my mind. So Les Mis, at its core, is the story of a very downtrodden man, also imprisoned, like Paul. So he starts out as a prisoner, being treated really poorly as a prisoner. And the main character, Jean Valjean, is a convict without hope. And he gets released from prison, and he kind of goes on a journey. He doesn't know where to go. He finds himself at a church, and he meets a bishop, a very benevolent bishop. And this bishop shows him God's grace in a way that is truly life-changing. It saves his life. It gives him essentially a purpose and a hope. Here he's been told, you are nothing, you are trash. And suddenly he has this hope and a vision for, you know, what his life could be, that he could turn his life around. So, you know, as the story is unfolding, we're really seeing this, like, transformation story of Jean Valjean. And in it, more than just, like, securing a place of grace for himself, he extends it to others. As the story kind of progresses, just as we are to do in our lives. So the bishop in this musical is very Christ-like towards him, you know, and in turn, Jean Valjean is very gracious to Fantine, and eventually, you know, she dies and he ends up adopting her daughter. And so then the story is really about raising Cosette and teaching her about love and faith. And it's really, I don't know, it's one of my favorite musicals. But so, you know, throughout that musical, though, the viewer really sees his struggle. You know, his two kind of main songs, one of them is titled Who Am I? Like, he's just asking, who am I? Am I a criminal? Or am I, you know, something else? What is God asking me to do? And so it's such a cool story. But we see his choices. We see God's mercy. We see that he's following the purposes of God and not the purposes of man. According to man, he should still be in prison. But according to God, he's raising this you know, orphan child. So I think it's a cool story. It kind of makes sense with this scripture to me. If you've never seen it, I encourage you to. It's one of my favorite musicals, and it has many, other than this, it has many, many, like, faith, Christian themes throughout it, and it's pretty good. So, yeah. So back to Paul. The reason that Paul is so willing and trusting of who God is and what God's purposes and his understanding of God's heart matters is because all of these truths that Paul has, he lives them out. He understands them and he lives them. You know, it comes from that place of a really healthy understanding of what it means to be a child of God. And even more so, when we look at Jesus, Jesus knew his purposes. Jesus is our great example of purpose and willingness. He knew he was a child of God. In Mark, so I'm just going to read through a few scriptures of Jesus, you know. He knew what his purpose was. So Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then in John chapter 3, verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And then John chapter 12, verse 46, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." And then lastly, in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, it's also in Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." So Jesus, he definitely knew what his purpose was. And he was willing. He was willing to walk it out. He knew God's character. So I think we as believers here and now, in our trials, in our broken world that we live in, once we gain that healthy understanding of who we are as children of God, we can live as Jesus did. We can live as Paul did. We can walk in that power and that authority and that purpose. We are most effective as followers of Christ and ministers of the world, in this world, when we live out of that place of understanding. And let me tell you, that understanding is very powerful. Satan does not want us to know our purpose. He does not want us to remember that we are children of God, that we have power and authority in us. And he does everything he can to keep us from that. But God, our Heavenly Father, knows, and he has given us that authority. Paul knew this, and he wanted his church to know this, the church of Philippi. And this information for Paul was worth suffering. So he suffered for it, but then also he lived for it. And it gave him hope, and it gave him joy. He says in verses 24 through 26 that he is convinced that he is to remain in the body. "But it is more important for you that I stay. I am sure I will live to help you grow and be happy in your faith. This will give you reason to give more thanks to Christ Jesus when I come to visit you." So here he is in prison, suffering. And he's encouraging the church of Philippi. Have hope. Be happy in your faith. So I think for us, applying this scripture in our own lives and our own walk with Christ, it requires us to reflect on that understanding about God. What is God's character? And then also, like Paul, he knew he was a child of God. He knew that he had purpose. We are children of God. We have purpose. And then Paul, you know, he engaged in the opportunities that God laid out before him, even while being chained. And I think I'd even read somewhere, he was chained to a Roman soldier. Like, he didn't even have any privacy. He's like chained to a guy who could, you know, kill him at any moment. That's not fun. But he was choosing that, and he was choosing joy in the midst of that suffering. So, you know, Paul was willing. He was willing to step into his purpose, to know his purpose. Jean Valjean was willing to step into his purpose, you know. And then, of course, Jesus, you know, most importantly, was willing to step into his purpose. So are we willing? Am I willing? You know, we all have opportunities that God has laid out before us, just like Paul, just like Jesus. You know, our opportunities that he has put specifically in our path to partner with him in loving others. You know, and our opportunities, they're going to look a little different than Jesus, maybe, or a little different than Paul, maybe. But, you know, we've got coworkers, we've got neighbors, we've got family, we've got friends. We've got people in our path every single day where there's opportunity, right? There's opportunity to love somebody. And then the cool thing with God and God's economy, as we like to say sometimes, is that, you know, he's created each one of us with different gifts and different talents, and he knows us and he wants us to partner with him. So he provides opportunities that make sense to us. He will provide me opportunities that make sense to my personality, to my gifting, to my talents that are going to be different than Cadence's or, you know, anybody's. Like, we all are different. And so we're not all expected to stand on the street corner and preach, because that doesn't make sense for all of us. But we all have our ways, right? We all have our ways to serve others, to love others well. And I think that's pretty cool. And, you know, there will be times, there will be opportunities that we are willing to partake in for purpose, and they're going to be hard. We have walked through some very hard seasons in the past, and so even though it's God's purpose, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's really hard. It was really hard for Paul. He was considering dying. He's like, maybe it's just better for me to die. This is hard. But God's purpose is always worth it. It's even worth suffering for, like Paul did. But sometimes it'll be easy. Sometimes it'll be a friendship. You know, you guys know what I'm saying. So I do want us to read that scripture again, but this time I want us to read it from the Message interpretation, because it's a little different and I really like how it's worded. So if you guys want to read along with me, I don't know if you have Message Bible, but Jody will have the words up here. So it says, "So how am I to respond? I've decided that I don't really care about their motives, whether mixed, bad, or indifferent. Every time one of them opens his mouth, Christ is proclaimed, so I cheer them on. And I'm going to keep that celebration going because I know how it's going to turn out. Through your faithful prayers and the generous response of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, everything he wants to do in and through me will be done. I can hardly wait to continue on my course. I don't expect to be embarrassed in the least. On the contrary, everything happening to me in this jail only serves to make Christ more accurately known, regardless of whether I live or die. They didn't shut me up. They gave me a pulpit. Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his bounty. Life versus even more life, I can't lose. As long as I'm alive in this body, there is good work for me to do. If I had to choose right now, I hardly know which I'd choose. Hard choice. The desire to break camp here and be with Christ is powerful. Some days I can think of nothing better, but most days, because of what you were going through, I am sure that it's better for me to stick it out here. So I plan to be around a while. Companion to you, as your growth and joy in this life of trusting God continues, you can start looking forward to a great reunion when I come to visit you again. We'll be praising Christ and enjoying each other." So there's Paul. You know, as we're kind of going through this book of Philippians, you know, just as we're imagining the state of Paul, you know, his mental state, his spiritual state, you know, he's old, he's tired, he's chained. He'd been in prison for many years before he wrote Philippians. But despite all of this, Philippians is one of the happiest books in the Bible. He's continually talking about rejoicing. In Philippians 1:19 and 4:4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." You know, what an amazing example of joy in the middle of suffering. So, you know, just for myself as a reminder and for everyone else too, it's like, you know, we may be having a bad day, bad week, bad month, bad year. Sometimes there's bad years. You know, but when we look back and we see that the Lord was with us through it all, and honestly be able to say that we were full of joy because the Lord was with us. You know, can we honestly say, you know, I was willing because I knew my purpose. Because I am a child of God and I carry authority with me wherever I go. And because of all of that, I rejoice. Even in my bad day, my bad week, my bad month, my bad year. You know, again, it's just that beautiful mystery of God's economy. That when we're walking in faith, there's really nothing that can keep us down. You know, hard times have come, harder times are coming. But we, you know, we'll still find our joy in Jesus. So, you know, just like God was asking Paul to be willing, and Paul was willing, he asks us if we're to be willing. Are we willing? He asks us to trust in the powerful position that we have as his children. He asks us to trust in his character and in his promises, and no matter what our circumstances are. You know, the truth is that God promises to be faithful. He promised us that he will move, that he will produce fruit in our efforts when we partner with him. So I think, you know, to answer my question from earlier, what does it mean to live as Christ? In my opinion, living as Christ is knowing our authority as children of God. I think that's the answer right there. You know, without this knowledge in our mind, our heart, our soul, our spirit, I don't think we can answer the other question very well. So, like, we need to know the answer for ourselves to the first question to be able to answer the second question. And the second question is, what are we living for? You know, Paul was living for God. He was living for God's purpose, which was being a teacher and apostle. So that kind of leads us to kind of my encouragement, my question for us this week to kind of take home and ponder a little bit. You know, something to ask ourselves this week and the coming weeks. You know, and that is, what does it look like for me, for us, personally, to be willing to partner with God in the purposes that he has for us? And what does it look like to partner with God in our circumstances? So that is my encouragement for us this week, you know, just to really meditate, to think about the fact that we are children of God. And because of that, we carry authority and purpose. And he has promises that when we step into those things, when we're willing to partner with God, there's going to be fruit from it. It's happened. It can't not happen. It will happen. You know, there's just no way around it. It's just one of those things, like 1 + 1 = 2. So that's my encouragement for us this week, you know, to remember to rejoice in our suffering and to consider What are the purposes that God has for me? Each day, you know, Monday morning, wake up. God, what's your purpose for me today? How can I partner with you? And, you know, just that, what are we living for?